Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Ruth Walsh is a 36-year-old woman from Cork who was diagnosed with sarcoma in 2016, and she joins me now this morning. Ruth, good morning.
Morning, Fiona. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you now?
Good. I'm great, thanks.
So just tell me a little bit, bring me back to 2016 when you started getting symptoms, like, or did you get symptoms? How did you discover that you had sarcoma?
So I'm a physiotherapist myself, and I suppose I'd never had any injuries or anything like that before. I'd always been very lucky. I ride horses myself, but I don't do any running sports or anything like that. So I think when I just got this really random pain in my right ankle, I really had no idea what it was. I thought I had just done something, maybe riding, you know. I wasn't overly concerned initially, but it just progressively got more painful over kind of the course of 3 to 4 months. So I suppose I had kind of done my own exam on it in one sense, you know, from a physio perspective. And really, I just couldn't figure out why it was so painful when I was walking. So I decided to go get an MRI done to see. I felt that it was something, you know, soft tissue. I never, you know, in my wildest dreams imagined that it would be anything more sinister than that. But I suppose a couple of days before I was scheduled for the MRI, it got extremely painful. I had been walking all day at a horse event, and I actually went to A&E and got an x-ray. Now, the x-ray actually showed a huge mass in the bottom of my right ankle. Now, the doctors at the time felt that it was just a cyst, but they, you know, they said, oh, you need to go get this followed up. So I continued on to get the MRI 2 days later. And I'd say I had only come out of the MRI centre in Cork, and I was sitting in the car when I got a phone call to say that I needed to go to the hospital straight away. And actually, when I got there, they had reviewed my x-ray, and they were they felt that it was something a lot more sinister. They couldn't give me any diagnosis at the time. Mm. And what followed on over the course of 3 to 4 months was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing on a diagnosis. And that's one of the big things with sarcomas, is that they are sometimes quite difficult to diagnose. There is a lot of variance in them. Mm. And in my case, it was a really difficult diagnosis. It swung from being a benign aneurysmal bone cyst to possibly a tumour, a malignant tumour, but they couldn't tell. I had biopsies done in Cork and in Dublin, and my results and scans were sent to the UK for analysis. And again, it came back very, they were on the fence regarding what it was. And it was just very, very difficult not getting a clear diagnosis early on. I did have surgery in Dublin, and to remove the tumour, Mr. O'Toole did it, the surgery in Casa, and he reconstructed the leg. Mm. He felt at the time he was again unsure with the pathology, what it was. And I suppose I was clinging on to hope that it was still something, that it was benign. But it was a huge tumour. And I suppose at the back of my mind, maybe we always felt it was something more sinister than that. Mm. But eventually, after I had that reconstructive surgery done, within a month, the wound had broken down and the tumour was reoccurring. Gosh. And in December of 2016, I went back for a review in Dublin, and he basically said that he couldn't save my leg, regardless of whether it was benign or cancerous. The tumour had infiltrated soft tissue, and there really was no hope of saving the leg. So still at that point, I didn't have a definitive diagnosis of cancer. Mm. But I did have, unfortunately, they had to amputate the leg below the knee in December of 2016. And it was only after that, it was only after in the January actually that I, after the samples were sent away again to the UK, that they eventually came back with an official diagnosis. So it's a rare variant. It's a telangiectatic osteosarcoma. So it's a variant of a bone tumour, we'll say.
And like, obviously you're 36 now, so you were only... What?
31 at the time, yeah.
So to lose your leg at 31, like, how do you even process something like that mentally?
Yeah, it's still, I think still to this day, I still sometimes don't believe that it actually happened to me. I suppose being a physio, I had worked with amputees in the past. There's a certain amount of, I've had a lot of exposure through my work to different things. I worked in acute services in Limerick Regional Hospital. So I kind of seen a lot of stuff and helped a lot of people with rehab and that. But you don't ever think it's going to be you.
Yeah.
So it's still to this day something that's difficult to process. And I think... still every morning I'm a bit, I, you know, pull back the covers and I still kind of look and kind of go, geez, I just can't believe that, you know. And now you just, you know, you move on, life is busy and the momentum of life pulls you forward. But you certainly are, I think it's still for myself, but especially for my family as well, and for my husband now, Steve, like, it's still such a devastating blow, really. But I'm lucky to be here, so
yeah,
I have to think about that all the time. You know, it was lose the leg or lose your life, and that was it. Like, it was very black or white. So
yeah, very black and white. Yeah, I mean, like, it's such a tough decision, but really, there is no kind of you know, thinking about it. Like, you have to obviously save your life. But how are you now? Like, do you still have to go back for regular checkups? Or
yeah, it's a very ongoing thing. When it, I suppose it's not just having the leg, you know, your leg amputated, you're left with this kind of lifelong disability in some ways. But also then I had chemo straight away. So I had 9 months of chemotherapy, and unfortunately my cancer had spread to my lungs by the time that it was diagnosed. And this is where early diagnosis is key. You know, we will never know whether or not, if mine had been diagnosed at an earlier point or a clearer diagnosis, you know, who's to know whether or not it would have spread or not. But it's why early diagnosis is so important. But in my case, it had spread, and sarcomas very commonly spread to the lung. So it had metastasized, unfortunately, by the time I started the chemo. But I did have a lung resection in the July of that, of the 2017 of that year, to remove a tumor in my lung, and continued chemo then afterwards. But that is, I'm coming up, I will be 5 years next October. So we're currently kind of the 4 year mark. So I have done probably better than was anticipated. I have regular scans every 3 to 4 months, but I've just gotten, I suppose you just get on, your life kind of, as I said, moves forward regardless. And I've been lucky. I've been very, very lucky. I suppose the prognosis wise was given about a 30% chance of making the 5 year mark. So I'm at the 4 year mark without a reoccurrence. So I suppose I feel very, very lucky compared to others that have a similar story to mine.
And, like, you know, obviously it's brilliant now that you're doing much better than anticipated. You must have a really strong mental drive to bring you forward. I know you have your family there to pick you up and bring you forward, as you were saying, but, like, for yourself, I mean, you must just be such a strong person mentally.
I think I wouldn't have said that I was probably before this. I think I was very lucky all my life. I was very healthy, and I've never really been put in a situation where I've had to, you know, had to really kind of, I suppose, you know, find your inner grit. But for me, I kind of just, I love life. You know, I'm just one of those people. I enjoy, you know, people and my horses. And I suppose for me, it was a case of, you know, do you want to, you know, you have to fight sometimes for what you want. So I just had so much to live for that it was a case of just, you know, put the head down, do as much as you can and hope for the best, because really it is just, you know, the luck of the draw, whether your chemo works for you or not. And the chemo was very difficult, and I have been left with multiple side effects, but there are things that can be managed, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And I suppose sometimes when people look at, you know, people's stories from the outside, they think, oh, you know, you must be, you know, mentally really strong, and you're doing all these things and you're great. And you do, but, you know, it isn't all rose gardens for sure. You know, there's an awful lot of kind of effort that you have to make every day to kind of keep going sometimes. But it's always worth it kind of when you go to bed at night, even if you've had a kind of a tough day, or if I push myself with the horses especially. But I always feel at the end of the day, you feel better for pushing yourself. So you kind of, I kind of try to, you know, find ways around the inconvenience sometimes of having, you know, a prosthetic leg as well. I'm always trying to look for maybe a solution. I don't always get it right. I get it wrong kind of more times than I get it right. But it's about just trying to find ways around it. And I think and finding an inspiration for yourself. Like for me, my horses are a huge, huge kind of interest. And they're really therapeutic as well in lots of ways. So that's been for me something that has really helped drive me through kind of the darker days, I suppose. Yeah.
And I'm sure you yourself are an inspiration to so many people who are listening to your story this morning. Ruth, what kind of advice would you give to somebody? You were talking there earlier about early intervention and early diagnosis and how important it is. What should people be looking for, and what do they do if they have any, if they suspect that they might have it?
The most important thing is just do not ignore any symptom that doesn't go away. And I suppose that's the key thing, whether it's pain, a lump, if it's there for any greater time, even if it's there just a week or more and you're concerned, you need to go and investigate that. And the thing about osteosarcomas and the soft tissue element of sarcoma is that it often doesn't have very clear-cut symptoms. It's quite an occurrence in children and in young teenagers, especially osteosarcomas particularly. So often people will tell you, oh, you just did something playing sport, or it's a growing pain, or you'll hear a lot of these things. And for parents as well, if their child is complaining of, you know, the knee pain or the ankle pain or the hip pain, and they're constantly complaining, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks, just investigate everything. You're not being... and don't think you're being a hypochondriac or you're being this or that or an overly concerned parent. This cancer is out there, and it is 15% of all childhood cancers are osteosarcomas. I think we need to remember that as well. And it's 250 people a year in Ireland are diagnosed with sarcoma. So while it's a small percentage, it's out there, and it affects men, women, children, babies, older people. It's everybody. So ignore nothing. Get it checked out and get a second opinion as well. If you're not happy, get a second opinion. And that's really important. Don't just take one person's opinion, even if they are experts. There are other people out there. Keep investigating until you get an answer. And that is so important.
Ruth Walsh, listen, thanks so much for joining us on the line this morning. Ruth is a real inspiration there, the way she looks out for others with sarcoma awareness. And it's great news that she's doing so well.
Cork's 96 FM.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.